This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of coach? I know that guy. Sometimes I've even been that guy. Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards earn their keep and which are just heavy, shiny metal. The quick math for knowing when to pay with points or just swipe your card. Which airport lounges are worth it and which are basically free Wi-Fi and chairs. Look, these people know the drill. They got the inside scoop. Money's too tight to travel dumb. We want to travel smart. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. The winners are the people with the most stories.
One of the great things about traveling is the people that you meet.
I've slept in bus stations, I've slept on people's floors.
And it's already on fire, and then there's just a gigantic, huge explosion, like out of a Hollywood movie.
It's not right or wrong, it's just different.
We hired 10 Chinese prostitutes to come be our audience.
We were kidnapped by nuns in Puerto Rico.
Not a good idea to be high when you're packing. You forget a lot of stuff.
I got swine flu.
By the time you've lived through it, it's just a good story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Travel Tales Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Siegel. My guest today is Kyle Lamont. And before we get to Kyle, here's a few announcements. Our website is traveltalespodcast.com. Go there. You'll find stories that I've written, stories that some of the guests have written, some links to their social media. You'll find links to our social media. The big one is Instagram. We could follow us there at Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. We also have a Facebook page. You can follow us there. But Instagram's the big one, so if we can get those numbers up, I would appreciate it. And speaking of numbers, a lot of you listen to us on those streaming platforms. Well, why not follow us and give us a good rating? Because that helps more people find the show, and that boosts our presence there, and that's a cool thing for you to do. And if you do that, I would appreciate it. So give us a good rating if you can. If you think you'd be right for the show, maybe you know somebody right for the show, or maybe you just want to write me and ask me some travel questions, or just tell me I'm awesome, you can write me at traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. That's traveltalespodcast@gmail.com. Kyle Lamont is someone who popped up on my Instagram algorithm somehow. Maybe when I was in Maine or something, because that's where she's from. She now makes her home in Los Angeles for the last couple of years, loves music, and is starting her own music business called Vemori, V-E-M-O-R-I-I, like venue and memory. And you can go to vemori.live to learn more about it. Basically, it's a deep dive into music venues and everything you always want to know about a music venue that you might be thinking of going to or that you are going to. Some have great parking, some have no parking, some have food, some have no food. Some have great sight lines and sound, others are crappy. You see where I'm going here. But essentially, Kyle is someone who loves live music. She's traveled a bit in pursuing music, whether it's to see a band live or move across country to be in the music industry. But she loves traveling and has traveled a bit in her life, and even swam the English Channel when she was 12. That's a first one for me. But anyway, it was a pleasure to meet her, and it's always great to hear from people who are just passionate about what they do. And when they love something, they are all in. And that's Kyle in a nutshell. So enjoy my conversation with Kyle Lamont. Kyle Lamont, welcome to the show. And I hope I say your name right because it seems pretty simple from the way it looks.
You nailed it.
Thank you
for having me.
And you're here in LA, but I believe you are a Maine person, correct?
Yes. It's funny that we're both in LA, but doing this remotely, it says a lot about LA.
I know. That's how bad we don't want to sit in traffic.
I know. Although it is a good opportunity to listen to podcasts.
Exactly. That is, mm-hmm. It does help now. It does it because for many years, I think you just got here, but I've been here for, 27 years, and radio was tough coming out, you know, and so now it's, we can listen to anything. So it's a big relief. But
yes, you know. I actually was reading a statistic yesterday about how a lot of people, surprisingly, prefer silence. And I'm in that camp.
Yeah, my girlfriend's one of them too.
Especially for errands or, if you're just sort of going short distances, there's something about that moment, that pocket of just
it's peace.
Quiet.
It's, yeah. Yeah, kind of like a quiet elevator or something, and People, I find they tend to like flying sometimes too for the same reason, because it's like they're unbothered. It's like there's nothing they can do about it. You know what I mean? If anything's happening, it's just like, what can I do? I'm on an airplane. You know, that drama's going to have to wait till I land. You know, let me turn off, you know, and that's a lot of times the only people sit for like 2 hours to watch a movie.
Yeah.
You know, without distractions and everything like that. So, yeah, travel can be good for that. I mean, are you like are you a book on tape? Are you an audio book person, or do you is it all music with you? Because you're a music person. I know. You're a music. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So I will give you the spiel. How about
give me
that?
The spiel.
Because I did not answer your first question out of the box, which is I'm based here in Koreatown, Los Angeles, and I am a startup founder of a cultural tech and media company for music tourism. And it comes from a very, very passionate and dedicated love for traveling for live music myself. And that is the purpose in which I find a lot of unique reasons to get out of my comfort zone, right? And I'm not the only one, right? It is a massive industry and it's underserved. So we are about to release our very first chat show, a very first video talk show, all about music venues. And this will be a way for fans and music tourists to understand more of the nuance of each music venue in the cities that they travel to.
So would this be like a site where you could go up and like, one of my favorite bands is playing at X Theater. I can look up the theater on your site and it would tell me all about it, like the sight lines, the sound, the parking situation,
you nailed
and all
it.
That stuff.
Yeah, okay. We're very excited to provide more context for the music traveler that we know are already investing a lot of money behind the trip. And we want to meet them there in a way that allows you to just be a little bit more informed. As we know, as traveling goes, we love spontaneity, but we also love to know where to park, right? We don't want to waste time messing around where the parking is, or where should I eat beforehand? Or what you said about the sight lines. And what's really exciting about this opportunity in tech, as we know, is the agentic capabilities. So when you enter our world, we will get to know your preferences and your style when it comes to experiencing live music. Do you like standing in the back? Do you love, you know, arriving later, early? Like all of those nuanced details, we will help better serve you when we have the capabilities soon to be your concierge.
Well, I'm all about the mosh pit in my 50s. Mm. No, Kyle, you know I like to rough it up.
Is this a joke or for real?
It's a joke.
Real?
Come on. I want to stand in that craziness now? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to stand.
It's better than a cup of coffee.
Oh, my gosh. Give me a chair, for God's sake. They're like, it's standing room only. It's like, no. God, please.
I went to a K-Con here, the huge Korea K-pop conference that they have here annually in LA. And I went as just so curious to see the fandom, right? As we know, it's wild.
Huge. Worldwide.
And a lot of the fans brought their own stools. It was something I'd never seen before. It's a contraption. It folds up into your bag. And then it like opens up almost like a, what do you call it? What is this thing?
Like an umbrella kind of thing, or an accordion?
It collapses like an accordion. So they pull it out and then that way they can stand and look over the tops of heads or sit down while waiting for the band to get on stage. So that reminds me, I want to actually reach out as a potential sponsor.
That's right.
And you get to
sell some merch. You need some merch there. And then they put your name, put your brand on there.
Oh,
and you haven't given us a name yet of this business.
Yeah. So the platform is called Vemory. And I named it after Venue Memories. Because as we know, every time we go out and travel, It's a memory, and venue memories, and the way it's spelt is V-E-M-O-R-I-I. And the R-I-I at the end really stands for relational intelligence that we are developing. It's proprietary code. And again, it helps better serve you, Mike, on how you relate to the venue, because it's different from how I relate to the venue, whether you're going to Red Rocks or a hole in the wall, right? The relationship and the intelligence behind your preferences is really what we are establishing. And then really at the essence too, I'm an English major, and I was always so moved by memento mori, right? Live to remember. And remember that we're all going to die is what memento mori is. And so that was part of the process of naming this as well, is we live to remember, go out, travel, go to that venue that you've never been to before, or take the week off and go and do a road trip to Red Rocks, right? Like, we live to remember. And that's what at the very heart of what Vemory is.
Is this going to be an app I can get on my phone at some point?
Yes. So okay. We are raising funds right now, always raising, always selling. So the talk show Concert Chat is about to go out soon. And so I'm the host here in LA, and then I have a host in New York City. And so the plan is to raise funds to begin production in all the major music cities. How cool is that? And then also build an app. So what's really unique about our platform is that we merge both media with utility, logistics, and insight into one ecosystem. And the beauty here is that we are private. We do not extract or sell your data. And in this world, as we know, that is really rare. And we value your intent. We value your privacy in a way, because we want to build a self-sustaining ecosystem and not sell your information or your preferences out.
Okay. We'll get to your travel experiences through music in a little bit, but I'm trying to think of how we met and how I found you online. And I didn't know if we had some mutual friends on Instagram or something. I was in Maine for something. Maybe I was in Bar Harbor on a ship, I might have been. And then maybe we had some mutual friends. I don't know, because I don't know too many people in Maine, although I was almost born in Maine. I was 2 months away from being born in Maine. So okay. my parents used to live in Bar Harbor when they were expected. So it means I was probably conceived in Bar Harbor. There you go. And then my dad got a job in Milwaukee and moved right before I was born. But anyway, where in Maine are you from?
So I am not too far from Bar Harbor. I'm across the bay, literally, from a town called Sullivan. And that's on Frenchman's Bay. It's the gateway to Down East, which is a very more rugged, more rural part of Maine. Very quiet fishermen and farmers. And I grew up there. But I also, you know, have traveled a whole lot. And, you know, since I've been back here to LA, I really haven't been back to Maine.
And you're missing a cold winter. When did you move here?
2.5 years ago.
2.5 years. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think to circle back, the cruise thing is so interesting, right? Like, everyone has their opinions. The locals either love it or they hate it.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But the tourists on the cruise ships, they love docking in Bar Harbor, obviously. It's beautiful.
It is a cute little town. It is.
Yeah. Plus Acadia National Park.
Yeah.
There's a lot of amazing qualities. I actually have a podcast all about Bar Harbor's live music scene. I'll make sure to send it your way. But yeah, I grew up there, and my first international trip, I was 12 years old, and it was to swim the English Channel.
Swam it?
Yes.
At 12?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I grew up a very competitive swimmer in the area, and went to a swim camp in Florida 1 year. And then when I got back, we received sort of like a mailer asking if anyone was interested to train for the English Channel. So I signed up, and then next summer I was like, you know, training.
That doesn't seem like it should be legal. It should be like an age limit, shouldn't there? Like 16, maybe at least?
Surprisingly, I'm not the youngest. There was a lot. They've capped it, but there were younger people than me.
Younger than 12?
Prior, yeah.
What's the distance? What's the distance in
21
miles?
21 miles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you did it all like freestyle?
And cold. Right?
Yeah,
cold.
Well, you're used to Maine weather, Maine water. You can train easily.
Did you ever jump in the water in Maine?
Oh my God, no. Not when I was too young. Well, I wasn't even born yet when I lived there. But even in Bar Harbor, no. I knew what it was about. I knew it was cold. Although my friends, of course, like so many people in Maine, had a cabin or a house on a lake somewhere. And we went out on the boat, and if it was a warmer day, I would have water skied. That's what I would have done.
Yeah,
but this is a lake. It was not the ocean.
Yeah. So I'm getting a good read on you. You like to sit at concerts. You're not a cold plunger. Are you?
I'm sounding lamer and lamer.
Are you one of those slow travelers? Or
no,
like, what
come on. Well, I'm getting slower as I get older. But, you know, I'm older. I mean, I'm going to be, I'm 58 now. So you'll see one day
ancient.
You'll slow down a little bit.
It's the gravity effect, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It really is.
Well, tell me about this. How long did the swim take?
Yeah, so swam the English Channel. It was part of a relay team, so I will mention that. But I was on two relays, right? So it was a junior relay and a senior relay. I was chosen to swim on both, and the amount of legs I swam was like 8 legs, which amounted to a crossing.
Wow.
So it was a lot. And we swam overnight. That was really, really scary because
yeah.
we had to wear like glow sticks. And I remember like I was tired and like, you know, when you're swimming all day, like, you know, you're just tired. And then the glow sticks were illuminating the plankton. So it felt like I was tripping out, you know, 12 years old, like having, you know, hallucinating and stuff. And I remember like wanting to stop. And my coach and the team, they were even out there with me, like cheering me on. And it's emotional thinking about because it's really an incredible feat.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done this for a while, had this show, and nobody's ever told that story. So that's
a
pretty good one.
It's a personal legend for sure. I'll you know, probably have it on my gravestone at some point. And, you know, right now, I think more people have scaled Mount Everest than have swam the English Channel. It's a hard... Yeah.
Does video of this survive anywhere? Did you have
there any? Is. Yes. We were like in it's I swam it in 98. And so it was like so you know, our coaches had like the big old
camcorders. Giant VHS camera.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of the stories I love telling is part of the training was in, you know, Fort Lauderdale. And we would go out into the middle of the ocean at night. To get used to swimming at night and to get used to swimming out in open water.
Yeah.
And I remember we were traveling out and I start to see one of the, you know, skippers suiting up and he had a harpoon with him. And I was like, okay, what the hell, right? And so that was to protect us from like marlins or barracudas. I remember at that point,
my gosh.
Like, when you're young, like you don't really understand that we all jumped in. We were like, okay, whatever, right? I would not do that today.
So wait, so you finished this. I mean, when it was done, were you guys like celebrities? Did you, you know, was you semi-famous? Did you do the rounds of talk shows or were you just like big deal when you got home? You must've been a pretty big deal in small town Maine.
Exactly. There's some articles in the local newspaper and yeah, it's just an incredible personal legend. And I hope that I have one more in me, which I hope is the founder of Vemory. So can sit side by side with the channel. But when I'm pitching, I like to at least mention that to, you know, show how dedicated I am to a project. The teamwork and sort of the lengths I'll go when I am motivated to finish something, right?
When did the music bug hit you and were you a musician?
Thanks for
asking. Are you a musician?
No. Are you?
No, well, I played like in the junior high band. I played drums as a kid.
That's
and I think
cute.
Trombone for a year.
Did you If you did both at once, that would be really incredible.
Yeah, that'd be a guy in a subway panhandling. I have cymbals in between my knees, that kind of guy.
We don't see enough of that, you know, like the. So I'd say, like most people, college, right? It's those formative years when you really think back is when our musical taste is formed. And it's funny because you try and stray from your preferred musical style, and it's always like, it doesn't feel right. Sometimes, you know, it's really an effort. It's effortful to like listen to new music, right? I guess what I'm getting at there is it's a really interesting, you know, I've also done another podcast on this, on the psychology of your musical tastes and getting outside your comfort zone and how hard that is, but it's worth doing. And especially when it comes to traveling and going and popping into like venues that you might not otherwise pop into, right? But when you're there, it's just heightened because it's so outside your comfort zone, right? But we, you know, our brain is wired to, you know, protect us. But anyway, I worked at a music venue in college called the Blue Note in Columbia, Missouri. Columbia.
Oh, Mizzou.
Yeah. Do you know it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you perform?
I'm from Chicago.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I played at Deja Vu.
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
In the 90s. Deja Vu is definitely a memorable place.
Yeah, the owner just died, sadly. Freddie DeMarco was the guy that ran it, and he was a character, but he did just pass away. Not to bum you out, but that was a fun place. And it's a college town. You know, it's a big... And I played colleges for a long time, you know, doing... But Columbia was... Mizzou was probably, you know, too big for me because they could afford much better comedians, like stars. You know, I was playing like a lot of the smaller rooms,
It's a good room.
Division III schools, you know.
Yeah, but it's a good, it's
what a
good
fun
room.
Town.
Totally. And that was like, for me, it was the height of from the window to the wall, to the sweat drops down your balls, right? Yeah. And so it's like, you know, for us, that was like drinking pitchers, heckling at the comedians. It was great.
Oh, great.
Great memory.
But why there as opposed to something on the East Coast that was a little
swimming.
Closer?
Swimming.
Oh,
I was recruited to swim.
Great.
And then, you know, I retired halfway into my career or into my college career.
Can you do that? Did they take the scholarship away?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I went also with a journalism scholarship. So, I stopped swimming. I just wasn't getting faster. I had peaked. My interests were not in swimming anymore. But I loved being at Mizzou and I loved, you know, the opportunities for journalism, because back in the day you would go to school for broadcast journalism to learn to be on camera. Now everyone is, right? But I mean, we went to college for that degree.
I was a journalism major, you know. I wrote at newspapers after college and things like that.
Where
newspapers, Kyle, were these things that showed up at your house and
I'm
they were
aware.
Actually printed on paper.
I'm aware.
So in Chicago I did, you know, I went to Northern Illinois. And that's what I did before, you know, comedy took me down the dark side.
Mm.
But when you did you know much about the Midwest until you went out there for school?
No. And that, you know, was really, again, just great parlay into like traveling, right? Like,
I mean,
it was,
you took yourself out of your comfort zone, which is great. I mean, and you learned about humidity, which is also was a nice.
Yeah. It was so much fun, and it has such a unique musical taste, right, within that region, right? There's a lot more like hippies, a lot more like, it's just like the different regions in our country have a different, you know, style musically, you know, music scenes, right? It's like, it's very interesting. LA is a little bit of a melting pot for sure. There's a lot of everything, and that's why I love being here. It's not too much of one thing. It's really a lot of everything at once.
So was there one group or was there one band or performer that you just latched onto and were obsessive about, like whether it's high school or college, and you're like, I am going to follow this band around the world if I have to? And did you?
I did. Yeah. It's a band called Sound Tribe Sector 9.
Okay.
And I just made a super fan edit because I love that band so much. It's a video of me. I'll have to send it to you. I'd love for you to post it as well with this thread. But it's me on the roof here in K-Town, and it's a drone flying around, and it's me dancing to one of their songs called Glass Z-13. And it's really like, you know, a culmination of my gratitude for how much their music has, you know, been a companion in my life, right? Throwing them in my ears while traveling on a train trip through Vietnam, right? Like, you know, these music bands are sometimes with you just so much more than the actual venue, right? Like, it's the road trips, it's the random parties that you throw it on, or it's, you know, like meeting a guy and like throwing on Soundtribe and getting like freaky, right? It's like, it's so... They're just such an incredible part of my life as a soundtrack and just as a portal to creativity. And so I wanted to provide like a reflection of that gratitude, right? Like, I'm a super fan, but I'm not buying thousands of dollars worth of merchandise, right? That's the term of super fan today, right? The correlation is with capital, right? Right. As a super fan, I was like, I'm going to make an edit. I'm going to bring in my art director. I'm going to, you know, ask him to help me make a really cool video. And it's a very special video. And it just goes to show, like, I had to make something, right? Like, it was just this response. Like, the body just responded. I didn't really overthink it. I was just like, I need to do this while I'm in this body. Right. And it, as we know with podcasting documentation, like, there is this beautiful archival sense of anything you capture when you look back on it today, right? And so that was a big reason as well, is like, I'm not this age living in LA, and I won't be this way ever again. So let's just drop and lock it, you know, lock it.
Yeah. Where is this band from? And why didn't you, like a lot of people I know who you remind me of, did you get into management or maybe in the business? And did you work in the music business?
Well, I suppose I got into them again, formative years. I saw them in college, and they're just this beautiful combination of like space jazz and instrumental electronic. And they really just like at that time in my life, you know, you're 21 or something, right? You're smoking weed for the first time, you're connecting with music fans in a way that you've never experienced before. You know, it's all those things that your brain is just like latching onto, right? But that music has been part of my life ever since, for the past like 20 years, right?
Wow, they've been allowing that long.
Yeah. And that's what's so amazing, right? Growing up with that band, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's really, really cool because a lot of bands don't make it that long. Right.
No.
Jam. And they are in the category of jam bands. And yet there are a lot of jam bands that aren't as around as long, but they have just a dedication to the craft and to the fans. And this new album that came out, I was just like, yes, I am right there with you. This is me as a fan, like saying I want to reciprocate. Right. In this creative like dance. Right. And the thesis of the video was more or less like how fascinating it is that we dance differently depending on our location. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how big of a crowd you're in. And of course, the music kind of dictates how much you're moving too. But
I bet you dance like a wild child in your bedroom.
Sure.
Versus if you're, you know, At a club,
a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. At a wedding, we dance differently.
Doing the hokey pokey, sure.
Yeah.
Well, what about, so you've never, if they are a jam band type thing, you never did the whole Fish, Grateful Dead thing?
This is my version of that,
right?
You know?
I mean, you're, like I said, you are younger, but I've known people younger than you that were really into like following the dead around.
Yes. And that goes back to that community of traveling for concerts, right?
Yeah. Obviously, it's your people. The dead. You found your tribe, you know?
That's the beauty. And that is very much it's a catalyst to travel. The dead take it like to another, you know,
right,
to
the biggest
level out there, right? I don't think there's any other band that people will travel like for the whole summer, right? That I know of.
Yeah. So what lengths did you go to like follow any kind of music? Have you hitchhiked? Have you like hopped on the tour bus? Have you, you know, caught rides with strangers? What have you done?
All of that. Like,
really?
All of that. Yeah.
Come on. Give me a tale. Give me one of the scariest, weirdest stories.
I suppose this is more of like a college angst tale. I remember being in Maine, you know, summer home or like, you know, it was in between semesters or terms or years or something.
By the lake.
on the ocean, I was very, 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 anyway, so I remember like having Soundtribe, they were playing at Red Rocks in Denver, and I really wanted to go. And at the time, one of the sound guy for Soundtribe had invited me, had, you know, promised backstage passes, right, to Red Rocks, right? So my like 22-year-old, you know, brain is like, yeah, I gotta go, right? And so I'm there in Maine. Okay. In this old Subaru, like a 92 Subaru station wagon. And I remember like packing it up and like getting ready to travel out to Denver with it. And my dad was like, you're not going out there. Right. Like there's no way. Right. And I remember it was so cinematic, Mike. Like I like got in the car
you
and just like,
me. You never understand. You don't understand. This is important to me.
But it was like, you know, I just like squealed out like it like dirt was like, you know, because I was almost scared he was going to like stop the mission
in the sensible Subaru. That's nice.
But it made it. It
God
made it, Mike.
Him.
It made it, you know.
Red Rocks is beautiful. I remember I went there. I've only saw one. I was at an all day like reggae festival there in the 90s. And, you know, I'd seen it on TV, especially the famous U2 video where they did, you know. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah. I was like, where is that? And I had to look it up. Oh, it was Red Rocks in Denver. And it was so cool. What a great venue to see. What are some of your other favorite venues?
Yeah. So I'd love to, you know, I was thinking, I knew you were going to ask me that essentially.
Yeah, but you
so
made
I'd
your
like
list.
To,
everybody's going to ask you, you realize if you're going to sell this company, everybody's going to ask you that question.
Mike, there are over 65,000 venues in this world.
I know,
world,
but you haven't been to all of them. I'm asking about yours. Give me your top five.
Okay, so the top three here in LA, I would love to just focus on LA because it is really, really remarkable.
And I know
city
some of these,
music.
So let's go.
So Zebulon, it is an avant-garde venue in Silver Lake, Frogtown, and it is the very epitome of fucking cool, right?
How big? How many people could get in there?
Right, I would say probably two to 400 maybe.
Oh, okay.
But it's you know, the programming is so eclectic, experimental, off the wall, right? These are bands you've never heard of, but you just go because it's going to be incredibly cool and unique and artistic and talented. And so for one, the programming is out of this world. One of the best talent buying I've seen. And it's independent, right? This isn't a Live Nation talent buying thing. These are artists playing on this stage, right?
That's great.
What I love about Zebulon is the layout, right? You walk in and rather than like having to just like push to the back of the house, right? Or to the stage, right? It's really separated into three pockets, right? You have your front area, your living room vibe, right? You get your drink, right? They offer food, right? And then you could sort of maneuver over into this beautiful patio with beautiful lights, a lot of seating, right? Hang out with friends. And then you sort of like, it's just this feng shui of then you go into the actual stage room, right? So it's separated. A great stage, amazing acoustics. They have paneling all over the walls, right? They really take a lot of time towards that. And then what's really cool is it continues to wrap around, right? So it's very circular and that's very rare, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And I'm obsessed with the bathroom.
Obsessed with
the
bathroom.
You walk in through this corridor
and it's actually
just
clean. That'd be nice.
Plastered with stickers and graffiti. And
oh,
it's
yeah,
just like
okay.
A really unique like aisle, right? So one of our concert chat episodes is about Zebulon. And I can't rave about it enough. If you're new to LA, you're popping into town, you don't know where to go, go to Zebulon. You won't be let down.
Well, we should ask how many cities have you got covered now? I mean, when people go to the site, I mean, Is it all U.S. or is it?
Yes, for now, right? So okay. New York and L.A. And then we are raising capital and securing sponsorships to afford and fund other musical cities, right? We know the best exists all, you know, Nashville, Austin, Chicago, New Orleans, you name it. I mean, every city, though, every state has an incredible flavor and, you know, talent, right? And what I love about so the other venue here in LA is the Bellwether. It's downtown and it
that one has, I know.
Oh, you've been?
I haven't been, but I've heard of it for sure.
Well, you might have heard of it because Prince once owned it.
Oh, okay.
Prince owned it at one point, can't recall the years, but all that is to say, another beautiful like the venue is like on Boylston, it's like that's Boston, but it's adjacent. It's downtown. It's really, really cool. The art direction, Mike, is so cool. Like the wallpaper is like all very like these like faces looking at you.
Yeah.
And everywhere you go within the venue, incredible sight lines. They have great bars. And then they have an outdoor patio with a great view of the city. Plus they have a restaurant. And then this is the kicker. They have a club that opens up after the concert. So if you want to keep dancing, they open up Camille's, which is, you know, upstairs. And it is this other really cool space that you just fucking boogie down to. And it's so cool, right? And then the third place that I just love, and I'm going from different sizes here. So Zebulon is the smaller hole, you know, not hole in the wall, but it's small and intimate. Yeah. Bellwether is a little bit bigger. I saw Soundtribe there. They did 2-night run. I was there both nights. So much fun. And then the third place I love is Kia, right? It's the bigger arena in Inglewood. And it you know, there's just something the Forum, right? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they redid it for music. For people who don't know, this is the arena where the Lakers used to play. And I saw Prince there. Speaking of Prince, because it had fallen down in the harder times about, you know, I don't know when it was, about 10 years, 2011, 2010. And it was for sale. And there was a local church was using it, you know, and he had become a Jehovah's Witness or something like that. And so he did like 20 or 25 concerts there in a row, like nights, all to raise money for the church, which obviously it ended up selling anyway. But for those of us who want, I mean, for fans, it was unbelievable because he was playing like, you know, 20 plus concerts and it was cheap, you know, like for $50 or whatever it was. And he would play for hours and it was so cool. But
what did you wear, Mike? What did you wear?
I still have the t-shirt from it. I had a Purple Rain t-shirt.
Did you like dress up? Were you wearing platforms?
No, I didn't dress up for it, but I do have a souvenir from it. I still have my Purple Rain shirt, so I'm very happy.
Seeing Prince is a big feather in
it was big,
a concert cap.
But,
fuck yeah.
You know, I'm going to really date myself here, but he was the third concert I ever went to. And I saw the Purple Rain tour in '84 in Chicago.
That's pretty fucking cool.
So that was that was big.
These are the perks of being old, right?
Oh, we could be here all day, but we got to get on to... I know you got to go, but I wanted to ask you about, we're getting back to travel. And I know the channel was your first time overseas. Have you done a lot of, foreign travel? Have you been to Europe a lot? Have you, where have you gone?
I lived in Amsterdam for a year. I did the whole backpacking
you've been hiding
trip.
That? You've been hiding that for the whole hour here? Come on. How was that? That's crazy.
I know. It was one of those things where it was the 2008, 2009 of the economy was taking a dump in New York, right? And I couldn't get a job. No one was hiring, right? And it was just one of those moments that it was like, go now, right? And so it started as just like a Euro trip, right? Like a classic, like just go on the Euro pass, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And that was the moment. And, you know, packed my... you know, CD player, right? Not to date myself, but
no,
CD player
CDs,
and no
sure.
cell phone and Lonely Planet and just, you know, took care of business. And I met a guy.
Oh, here we go.
And
oh boy. What band was he in? Oh God, here we go.
Well, if you want to hear a sad story about a guy I dated in a band.
No, I don't want to hear a sad one. Just give us the fun one.
It's hard because, you know, the artists are like, they're two different people, right? And so I have a podcast called Ghosted by a Rock Star, Haunted by His Music. And it was the experience of dating a rock star for a bit. And then he ghosted me and now I can't listen to his music.
Yeah.
It's a pisser, right? So, but you know, that's my own problem.
Get back to Amsterdam.
Sure.
Tell me what that was like living there during the economic collapse.
So it was, you know, incredible because it's new and I never experienced anything like it. And within like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I got myself my own feet, right? My own bike, you know, and it was so cool. It was like a vintage style and it, you know, electric light and it like ringer, you know, and I was just like, you know, just part of, you know, doing every, I wanted to live there, to be quite honest. Right. And I actually applied to live there. I was, I worked at a radio station there for expats.
Oh, you know, wow.
I was, it was so much fun. And, applied to, you know, they had at the time had a really cool visa program for resident, you know, to apply to work there as long as you would pay taxes, essentially. I don't know if it still exists, but, and then at that point, you know, sadly my dad died.
Oh, so I moved
back to America to take care of business. But Amsterdam will forever have just like, just this incredible, it was just this moment in time. You're young. There's not anything going on.
Yes. It's the time to do it.
And the music there that, oh my God, Amsterdam dance event, this huge, massive electronic festival, the Paradiso music venue there in an old church, like everything was just like clicking. You know,
Sorry, did you get a chance to like travel around through Europe? Did you like, hey, this weekend I'm going to get in the train and go to Sweden.
This weekend,
we're going to go down to London and, you know, hang out.
It's so cool. You know, it's so cool when you're in the travel spirit of just saying that stuff, right? Like, do we just say it to just like flex?
No, but it's like, it's such an advantage there of being able to like hop on a good, clean, high-speed train, and within a couple hours, you're in a different culture, a different, you know.
It's so cool.
It's great.
But I will say the same, if you hop in a car here and travel like 2 hours each direction, you're in a different culture.
Well, yeah, that's true. But did you ever think of, go ahead.
Well, I will say, because I think your website, it looked like you were also in Vietnam.
Oh, yeah, I have been.
Yeah, that
couple
place.
Couple times.
You went? Incredible. Oh, yeah.
When were you there?
I was there in 2017.
For fun? Or were you?
Yeah.
Three weeks.
It's
great.
Yeah.
Isn't it fun? And it's just beautiful beaches and it's so affordable. And
I remember
it was great.
My first meal there, I landed in Da Nang. And I remember getting off the plane and being like, holy shit, like this is like for real. Do you ever feel that sometimes you're like, what the fuck? Like, this isn't a joke anymore.
Like, and you were like suddenly the tallest woman you've ever seen.
And, and I was like also like looking at my language book of like Vietnamese all of a sudden, you know, that feeling where you're like, oh, I really am in a new country. But I remember, I'll never forget, the first meal there was with a food tour, right? As you do. And yeah, because it was intimidating. Like, what do you do, right? And so I joined a food tour because I wanted to just have a, you know, handheld moment. And I remember like going to a market, and you know, afterwards we sat down for dinner on those little stools, and I remember crying because I was like, "This is so cool!" Like sitting on these little stools, you know, like it was just like this moment of like, "This is different." and I just threw myself into the entire trip and, you know, traveled on a train, you know, did the whole Halong Bay, like met some of the funnest people. And I would love to go back. I did more of the northern part of Vietnam, really want to do the south one day.
Oh, you didn't get down to Saigon or anything like that?
No.
Oh, yeah. You got to get down there.
So it sounds like you've done the whole country.
Yeah. I've been from Hanoi down to Saigon. Yeah. And I took an overnight bus, which are not built for like a 6 foot whitey. I can tell you that right now. It was a little tight, but no, it was great. And I'll always go back. Asia is, has a special place in my heart.
The scooters and just like,
the chaos.
Standing and watching for an hour and change, like I wasted a whole day. I have a video and it, again, makes me cry. It's like, you know, those moments when you're just traveling and you just cry because it's so beautiful. was a woman. It was in the early morning, and it's just, you know, like the speakers, right? It's very much like, you know, in the busy city. And this woman was just doing beautiful Tai Chi while like the city was just rushing by her, and she was just in the flow of it. And I remember standing and watching, and I was like so enamored. And it was just so beautiful. And it's like those moments that I love so much, right? And you just stop and the world feels like it's stopping with you. And what sucks is like having to walk, you know, and having to leave that moment, you know, it's so hard to stop, like to come back from a trip, you know,
Have you done other, like you've done Thailand and Japan or any of those other places over there?
Yeah, I didn't have, I didn't click as much with Thailand. I don't think I did the right places.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to go back.
And, you know, Japan, they love music.
Love to go there one day. Yeah, yes.
I think you would dig it. Tokyo, you could spend a year insane. And a day there. Tokyo.
Tokyo concert chat.
Oh,
just
my God.
Just you wait, Mike, in 2 years, please.
It's built for your app. They got a lot of music venues.
Oh, yeah. And then I'd say to another really big memorable trip that I'll always hold with me is traveling to the Amalfi Coast.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Italy.
That I was just there a few years ago. We went. It was great.
Did you like Sorrento and
Positano and all that?
Atrani. I stayed in this smaller little town, Atrani, and had this rooftop view of the little inlet and drank my cappuccino and read and just, you know, it's those little moments. And it is the clothes on the clothesline, right? It's like those mundane moments that are so picturesque in a different country, right? You know, it's like laundry is all of a sudden poetic, right?
Do you picture yourself like eventually like living abroad or doing anything like that? Or are you digging LA so far? I mean, what's been the hardest thing to adjust to from Maine to here?
Yeah, I mean, no adjustment. It's the just being focused and not, you know, going out as much as I want to.
Right.
To live abroad, of course. And then there's so many bucket list places I really just still want to go to. I'm curious to know what's
on
yours.
Top couple. Give me your top few.
Well,
people
Mexico
have all heard
City.
my butt. Oh, those Mexico
City's
great.
City. Yep. Yeah. And that's not too far. I mean,
that's
it's
an easy
just
one.
A moment. And exactly.
Yeah.
Tokyo, like we said, I am of Scottish descent, so I've got to get to Scotland.
Yes.
And Australia, an amazing country for music and swimming and just, you know, as we know. So I'd love to get there one day too before I change timelines.
I have a feeling you will. So, okay, now if people want to check out the app, it's not an app yet, but if they want to check out the site, give the website address
and everything. Thank you so much, Mike. Yeah, so please visit vemory.live, and there you can subscribe to watch Concert Chat, which will start out streaming on YouTube, of course. And also you can listen to my podcast called Concert Cast. And that has been a incredible like experience of audio storytelling of traveling all over the country, visiting music venues and talking about the cultures of each musical town. And that is an entire season around road tripping around Maine. So that's really cool. If you've never been to Maine, definitely you want to listen to this podcast up.
Yeah, we didn't get to the Maine portion. We could have done an hour on Maine. You could have.
Please.
Okay.
So, but vemory.live, and then there is where you can sign up for our beta app and, you know, and then the newsletter and all that fun stuff. But I really, you know, all of your listeners will enjoy having this resource, both as media, right, dedicated to talking about the culture of each music scene in a way that is like passionate and like niche based, right? It's not so much about the artist. It's about the venue, about the scene, about that night, right? It's like ESPN sports analysis, right? We want to talk about that guitar solo. We want to talk about the service. We want to talk about that night because you'll never experience that night again, right? And so we want to provide a resource, a platform for travelers and locals to just be able to enjoy it, sink into it, and maybe pull out something constructive.
What about socials? Like if people want to follow you, like on Instagram, like I do, where could they, where, give me the address. Give them that address.
You know, Instagram is Kyle_Lamont. And, you know, have you noticed like on socials these days, you're like schizophrenic with like different personalities?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like presenting different personalities?
Yeah. Like LinkedIn, it's like, I'm, you know, startup founder, right? Like, but then like Instagram, you're going to see more of my private host.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm more the host, more like, you know, fun, sexy, like outgoing, you know, like truly, right? You can't be fun, sexy, outgoing too much on LinkedIn. I've tried. It doesn't, right. You know, it doesn't
That's more
connect.
Business. That's more business. I get it.
I am still waiting to connect with the right guy on LinkedIn.
Oh, well, you know, using it as a don't worry about app. It. In the music industry, I mean, you meet plenty, whether, you know, quality and quantity. That's what we look, you know, you got to decide what you want.
Are you with anyone, Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm living.
And do you guys travel a lot together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We've been together for 5 years, 5.5 years now. So we've been traveling a bit. Yeah. So we were in Iceland a couple of years ago and we're going to the Bahamas. We've been to Japan. And Australia, all these places that you need to go.
What was your first trip together and were you nervous?
Sure. I mean, just like a weekend stuff, like in Big Bear or something like that was probably the first time away. And then little like Palm Springs or something like that. But big one, I'm trying to think, we went to like St. Croix, you know, Caribbean type thing.
Very romantic, very beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you in the Amalfi alone? Because that's like a lot of couples. A lot of couples, though.
Mike, the next frontier for me as a traveler is with a significant other.
Yeah, it's a good test. It's a good test.
All of my trips have been solo, female, solo traveling. I would say I am more on that frontier side, right? Like before women were traveling alone, I was that first woman. I remember people like constantly asking me like, where's your friend? Where's your partner? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm alone. Yeah. And it was really like a different. It was a movement, right?
It can be scary.
I was happy to be part of that movement.
But it can be scary, you know. Any scary incidents? Have you been followed or have you been harassed? You know, some countries are, you know, easier on you than others.
Yeah, no, I'd say probably the closest has been like New York City, right? Has had some stuff, but you know, I've learned, you know,
street smarts,
good instincts in terms of knock on wood, like yeah. I mean, knock on wood, anything could happen. And let's not end on that note, Mike.
No, no. Were you staying in hostels or were you doing hotels? I mean, what's your preferred form of lodging?
Oh, I'm bougie. I'm bougie.
It's Hilton or higher.
Well, it's like Walmart bougie, right?
Okay, where
it's
okay. Like,
you know, I am a startup living in an apartment in Koreatown, if that says anything, but it's like, I've done the hostels. I like the hostels, but you know, if I'm going to enjoy my experience, I've got to have good sleep. I've got to feel like, you know, and also who doesn't love a good hotel and a good, like experience
a good shower.
The hotel. The hotel is very much part of the trip, right?
Yeah.
Where you stay says everything and who you meet and all of that. So gosh, the list goes on for those high-end resorts. I would love to cross over into that experience.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Quick answer. Your favorite hotel. What's the first one that jumped into mind? The best night you ever spent. And you're like, oh, this hotel is the best. Bougie it up if you have to.
Can I come back to you, Mike? That's really putting me on the spot.
No. Well, give me one of your favorites. I don't know. You don't have to pick the exact one.
I mean, pivot to...
Something jumped in your head real quick. Something jumped in there. I know.
I will actually say instead that I am a big car camper.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to come back to you on the hotels because I'm trying to tread lightly because I'm trying to get a lot of hotel partnerships.
Oh, okay. You don't have to. Yeah, okay.
But
I'm not telling you to diss anyone, but I'm just saying, like, do you remember one that was like, oh, I could stay here for a year?
Well, yeah, the Wyeth Hotel in Brooklyn. Williamsburg.
One.
Yeah.
Is in Williamsburg? I used to live in Brooklyn for a little bit, but I lived there before. Williamsburg was cool.
I'd love the Bobby Hotel in Nashville. Really cool, very hip, downtown music. theme, you know, but get your, like your bathrobes, like, but I really haven't crossed over to the 5-star resorts yet or the 5-star hotels yet. You know, I'm waiting on that right moment.
wait for that partnership, get that partnership.
Like truly, but the car camping, you know, I have traveled back and forth across this great country of
in
ours.
That Subaru?
Multiple times. I have a new Subaru. And prior to that, I had a 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner.
Okay.
I've traveled across this country hundreds of thousands of miles, truly, Mike. Like,
You lay out the back seat and you just sleep. Okay.
I'm very professional when it comes to that now. Car camping, road tripping, it's what I do. And that's also the very essence of concert chat. And I don't think I mentioned the fact that the show is in a car immediately after the show.
Oh, right? I didn't know
that.
So
we jump right into the car. So while it's fresh, to debrief about the concert, and it's in our car, because so much of our experience happens podcast listening, you know, traveling, road tripping to concerts is that vehicle, right? So there's something so incredible about being inside that car, whether it's recording a podcast, video talk show, or sleeping, right?
So when you're sleeping in the car, though, I mean, you pulling into parking lots, or are you in, like, you know, state parks? Are you in, like, the BLM land where they say you can camp for free? I mean, I'm fascinated by this because I've slept in my car, but like because I was about to fall asleep and I've just pulled into a parking lot. But, you know, sometimes they hustle you out. You know, the cops don't want you to be there, or security, or whoever, you know. You got to pick your parking lot.
Oh, I know.
Correct. You know,
it's the worst feeling to be woken up in the middle of the night by someone. For sure. It's very unnerving. I've gotten, you know, I have my excuses. You know, if that ever happens to you, Mike, next time you just say, like, I had to pull over and sleep, right? Like, just sort of lean on that as your excuse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've slept everywhere, everywhere imaginable. Like, from neighborhoods to BLM to just, you know, there's great apps out there that show you where to car camp. And I'm not a van lifer. I'm the back of the Subaru or lifer, you know.
What's the longest stretch you lived out of the car, like in touring?
From Maine to LA, I traveled, you know, it was probably like a good month's journey. And I just, I made the most of it, stopped in a different music town.
Did all the canyons? Did you do that? Like, you know, like Utah canyons and doing all that? Like Zion?
Have you done all the parks?
Not all of them, but a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Which one is on your next list here in America?
I haven't done, I've seen most of the big ones, but I mean, I want to go to the area outside of New Mexico, like around Santa Fe and Taos and all that stuff, which I really haven't seen. I've been to Albuquerque, but I haven't really been, but you can't really, I mean, I've touched on a bunch of the ones in Southern Utah, but they're so, you can do a deep dive into just one of them and spend weeks, you know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah. And the Grand Canyon, of course, and Yellowstone I've done. And, you know, I did a big road trip during COVID. And I think I slept in the car a couple times.
Well, there you go.
I did. And that was a Prius. So, I mean, that's tight for me, but I've managed it.
That is really impressive, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole thing with car camping is this, just this essence of you do become really comfortable with what you got. Right. And that's what's like just so freeing. Right. Is everything is in this car. Like, how much freer can that feel? Right. It's also like that same mentality of your backpacking. Everything I need right now is on my back. It gives you so much more of this, like a mindset of just letting go. And that is the best part of really sinking into a good trip.
That's great. Well, I finish everyone on the same question. I'll ask you, what do you think all this travel and what you've seen and how has it changed you as a person and how you look at life? I mean, what has it taught you?
Compassion, that we truly are all human and to just do your best to benefit each other somehow, right? Because it's truly remarkable how we are of this planet. And I might be reading too much Alan Watts lately, but like, this planet grows people, whether it's here in America or Vietnam, we are people. And like, that is so cool when you travel to witness that, to connect through that, and to just like remove all those limits and boundaries of difference, right? And I love that because it helps you just detach and connect. And that, you know, and it's the essence too of limitless exploration of your thoughts, good or bad, right? We know the long train rides, the long, you know, stretches of walking and just getting lost in the city. And like all, sometimes those thoughts are incredibly different than the mundane thoughts you'll have here at home. So obviously that is the fun part too of traveling, is what you tap into when you are removed from your normal everyday life.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it. And stay in the line here.
Okay.
I'll talk to you afterwards, but we'll wrap it up and have great success with the new business.
Thank you. And maybe we can meet in person next
time.
Yes,
we'll go rock out at a show sometime.
All right. I'll bring your chair.
Maybe one of those Korean ones, like accordion ones. That sounds great, actually.
I know. I'll get you one of those.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Kyle Lamond, everybody.
I'm Max Hortzhorn, host of the Go Nomad Travel Podcast. Every week, I bring you a short 5 to 8 minute escape to somewhere unexpected. I cover the kinds of travel stories you don't hear anywhere else, quirky destinations, unusual adventures, and people who make the world endlessly interesting. If you love discovering new places but don't have time for a long show, these bite-sized episodes are perfect for your commute, your walk, or your coffee break. Join me on the Go Nomad Travel Podcast and explore the world in just a couple of minutes.
If you want to travel more, ideally in luxury, but without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. I'm DeAndre Koch, and on Revolutionizing Your Journey, I use my unique vantage point as a financial advisor to break down exactly how my wife and I leverage credit card points and miles to fly business class, stay at five-star resorts, and take bucket list trips for a fraction of the cost. Each week, I share real strategies packed with actionable tips and interview some of the smartest travelers in the game to help you revolutionize the way you travel. Travel well, live boldly, and find Revolutionizing Your Journey wherever you get your podcasts.